smokehouse or the woodshed to ambush Johnny Ray. "Maggie, can you catch that rooster?" Corey May stood on the stone porch steps, arms akimbo. "If you can catch him and wring his neck, we'll make chicken and dumplings for dinner tomorrow. Thomas, J.D., and W.C. should get here sometime tonight, and after church we'll all go to Grandma's house for dinner." Then she reached to take Johnny Ray from Maggie's arms. "That's the last time that old rooster will chase you, honey." Maggie had watched her mother wring a chicken's neck many times. It seemed fairly simple. Mama held the chicken by its head, swung it around in a small circle a couple of times with a little jerk to break its neck. Then she tied its legs to the clothesline and cut off its head with a butcher knife. Maggie knew she could do it. Jeannie, Betty Lou, and Junior helped Maggie herd the rooster into the chicken house where Maggie caught him. Squawking, he flapped his wings and pecked at her as she carried him out by his feet. While the children watched, she grabbed him by the head and began to swing him around at arm's length. Because he weighed more than she expected, she couldn't quite give his neck that jerk the way her mother did. Thinking his neck should surely be broken after about 10 circles, she turned him loose. He went up about 12 feet into the air and came down flapping his wings, hit the ground, and staggered off. The children hooted and shouted. "Catch him!" Maggie screamed. The poor rooster, still addled after his aborted execution, lurched like a drunk toward the hen house. Betty Lou had him in an instant. "This time, I'm going to cut off his head with the axe." Maggie headed for the woodshed. Maggie loved Sundays, the only day they did not work, except to prepare meals and care for the animals. Best of all, she could see Mary Ann at church. But today, her eagerness to see J.D. occupied all her thoughts. The difficulty of keeping quiet about J.D.'s letter had required much restraint. 12 times she had caught herself just before blabbing some comment. "Guess I won't see him until after church, when we go to Grandma's for dinner. Don't think I can act normal around Uncle Thomas. Hope he won't guess I know his big secret." After Sunday school, Mary Ann and Maggie chose their usual seats a few rows back on the left side, where she could watch as Betty Lou played the offertory. After Betty Lou had taken piano lessons from Mrs. Lewis for several months and learned a simple hymn, Reverend Lewis had asked her to play the offertory each Sunday. Maggie liked to watch her father while Betty Lou played. He leaned forward with his arms folded across his chest, watching with intense concentration, his eyes shiny. As Betty Lou finished, Grandpa Campbell surprised Maggie by walking down the aisle and taking a seat in the second pew. Oh, no. Every time Grandpa Campbell came, Preacher Lewis called on him to say a few words, which always turned into a sermon. Grandpa only showed up when he had something to say, and usually what he said embarrassed her. "He'll get up there and preach and preach, and church will last till way past noon." Just as Maggie feared, Reverend Lewis came to the pulpit.
"We're glad to have Preacher Campbell visiting with us today," he nodded to Grandpa. "I'm wondering if you would be so kind as to share a few words."
Grandpa Campbell stood and walked to the platform carrying his well-worn Bible. A short, slightly built man with thin gray hair and sharp features, he wore blue overalls under his old brown suit coat. As usual, his plaid shirt was buttoned to the collar, but he never wore a tie.
"Thank ye, Brother Lewis. You're always so gracious to me when I come here to give ye a word from the Lord."
Maggie could hardly believe her eyes when Grandpa removed a paper from his Bible. Grandpa never wrote out or read his sermon. He believed the Holy Ghost filled his mouth with the words of the Lord as he spoke, as did most Pentecostal preachers.
"This here's an article from the newspaper give to me by Brother Hicks down to Maple Grove. The Holy Ghost laid it on my heart to give ye a warning from the Lord today. It says here that they's making a new Bible."
He held up the article.
"They's already printed the New Testament, and they's working on the old. It says here the whole Bible will be ready by 1952. It's called the Revised Standard Version."
He folded the paper and replaced it in his Bible. Then he hit the pulpit with his...